Okay, let's take our Bibles and go to Genesis. I'm going to be preaching on the Christmas story during our morning service, so I'm going to continue this morning just teaching. We've been teaching through the book of Genesis. I'm going to try to get back into that. Chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. I want to try to get back into that this morning, and we've had several guests of late. Of course, Brother Epley taught first of December, and then Brother Smith was with us, and then we had our visiting missionary last week. But I wanted to get back kind of into this, and so we're going to recap, review a little bit, and get into the Bible and teach some. Let me just read from verse 19, Genesis chapter 39, verse 19 to the end of the chapter, and I think a little bit later on we'll probably be reading all of chapter 40 together also. Genesis chapter 39 and verse 19, and it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. He was there in the prison. The Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this man, Joseph. Thank you for his life. Thank you for his willingness, Lord, to stay true to you even in adversity. I pray, Lord, that maybe we would grasp that more than any other one thing. Lord, our lives sure are a series of ups and downs. And Lord, some days it seems like we go 3 steps forward, and some days it seems like we go 10 backwards. But Lord, how important it is for us to be true to you, to display a godly character, Lord, when it's easy to do that, when it's hard. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. Joseph is a great encouragement, a great example to each and every one of us. I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to examine his life in light of the Scriptures and learn what you would have us to learn this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, let's get into this and let's talk. First of all, let me review a little bit of chapter 39, Genesis chapter 39, since I didn't reread the entire chapter. Joseph, if you'll remember, Joseph was initially sold into slavery by his brothers. When he was brought to Egypt, he was purchased by a man by the name of Potiphar. But Potiphar was a businessman, and a successful businessman. And it didn't take Potiphar very long to figure out that this guy had something on the ball. And he began to give him jobs and give him responsibilities. And every time he did give him a part of what was his, that area prospered. He tested, I'm sure if he was wise, he tested the integrity of Joseph. I think he proved him out. And you know what? Everything that was given to Joseph, he handled with integrity. Everything that he handed to Joseph, he handled with honesty. And everything that he handed to Joseph prospered in Joseph's hand. Well, you know what? This man may have been an Egyptian, and he may not have been a worshiper of the true God, but he wasn't dumb. And he started thinking, you know what? What I'm going to do is I'm just going to keep giving this guy more and more responsibility. Every time I give him a part of what is mine, I'm doing much better a month or two later in that area than I was before he put his hands on it. And I remember when we taught this, folks, let me just say it again, it's worth repeating. You know what? Even working out in the lost world, the heathen ought to see that Christians, if you give Christians responsibility, they're going to do a good job. They're going to treat that responsibility with integrity. If they test our honesty, we ought to pass that test. I think that the blessed people in any corporation, any workplace, the hand of God ought to be apparent upon us as Christians. It's very important that we not just walk around at the workplace passing out gospel tracts, and I'm all for that. But you know what? If you're passing out gospel tracts and at break time you're supposed to take a 10-minute break and you take a 15-minute break, your gospel tracts aren't going to have much of an impact on the men around you. I mean, that's just the truth of it. And when you look at this man's life, we'll talk about this when we summarize it here in a second. One of the things you'll see is that Joseph certainly had integrity. Now, Potiphar had a wicked, wicked wife. And this woman, the Bible uses the term, cast her eye upon Joseph. And she set about to try to get Joseph to begin to have an affair, an adulterous relationship with her. And Joseph dodged her and avoided her and said no to her and did everything he could. But you know what? There was a day, the Bible says, when they were alone in the house together and she tried to entrap him and get him and force him and encourage him to sin with her. And Joseph didn't see this just as a sin against Potiphar. He said it would have been a sin against God for him to do that. And so he said no, and she grabbed him by the coat, the garment, and he took off out of his coat and got out of that house and did what any young man with integrity would do. And so what happened? Well, this wicked, evil woman, and we spent all of the last time we taught on this, talking about the sin of a false accusation. The Bible has a lot to say about that, and we certainly didn't cover it exhaustively, but I hope I gave you some things to think about. But she waited till her master was home and levied against Joseph a false accusation. And she turned that whole story around, and you know what? It wasn't her that was trying to seduce him. It was him that was trying to force her. And you know what? She had to scream out. And the servants came and see, here's the garment he was left in such a hurry, and accused him of something that he absolutely did not do. He was totally 100% innocent of, but she accused him of that. Now, when the master got home, the Bible says here that came to pass when his master heard, verse 19, the words of his wife, which she spake to him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled, and Joseph's master took him and put him into prison. Place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. Now, this is interesting. I want to talk to you about this because I believe in this chapter, God allows Joseph to be tested in a number of ways. And I see in this chapter, and I'm just going to kind of summarize this chapter by looking at these four different tests that I see that Joseph passed with flying colors. This was certainly not an easy time in Joseph's life. This was a very difficult thing that he faced here. But you know what? He passed the test. Folks, a lot of times the Lord's going to allow us to go through difficult situations, hard times. But he's going to do so to test us. You see, the Lord begins to test an individual. And if Joseph wouldn't have passed these tests, I don't think God would have continued to take him to the place where he would one day be where he was going to be, second in command over all of Egypt. This is one of the things we talk to our young people a lot about. Listen, I'm not talking about a young person that nobody's perfect, and none of us has passed every test we've faced. But you know what? There are some key moments, key times in a young person's life where I think God puts them in a situation where they have to make a decision. And like I said, it doesn't mean that at times we're not going to fail a test. But you know what, folks? If you fail one, pray and ask God to allow you to retake it. You know what I found out? God's the God of a second chance. We've got an AC school here, and you know what? A kid will go through one of his paces and finish it up and do the self-test, and the teacher will examine the results, and if he feels like the student's ready, he'll say, let you take the test tomorrow. And so the young person takes notes and studies, and you know what? There's been times where they just fail a test. They just fail the test. But you know what we do the next day? We come over and we lay a brand new, fresh pace in front of them. And they get to do they have the wonderful, wonderful opportunity to have a second chance to do that material over again. And by the way, we don't just say, oh, well, you got an F, you didn't understand this stuff, so we'll just keep pushing you on. We don't do that here. They must pass the test. They must comprehend the material. They must pass with a certain grade, or they don't get the next pace. So sometimes they get to repeat a pace. And let me just say this. As I'm talking about these tests, if you say, Brother Jerry, God tested me in one of these areas and I failed it, then you ask Him for a new pace. Ask Him for a new pace. You know, folks, the Bible says a just man falls seven times and riseth up again. And I will tell you that God never had. If God threw people away anytime they failed one test, that all of us would have been thrown away. If God said, "Up, tried you, tested you, you failed, I never can use you," then nobody would ever be used. So I'm not trying to okay it in your mind not to do your best to pass the test. I'm just trying to encourage you, because if I was teaching teenagers, I'd teach this probably a little different. But you know, those of us gone down the road a little bit, you know, I said a long time ago, and I believe this. I don't think there's any place in the pulpit for an "I told you so" sermon. I don't think that does any good. I think there ought to be a place in the pulpit for a "God's the God of a second chance" sermon. And we're all going to fail. We're all going to fall short. But God will allow you, thank God for His graciousness, He'll allow you a lot of times to say, "I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you a new pace. Let's try this again." And you know what you can do? The best way to prove that you learned what God wanted you to learn, or that you learned from your mistakes, is to pass the pace test the next time. So let's go on. Let me just hit three areas real quick, or four areas real quick. Joseph passed four tests, I think, in this chapter. Number one, I call the first one the honesty test. The honesty test. Now, I want you to think about this. Joseph was entrusted with another man's wealth. This was Potiphar's substance. This was Potiphar's wealth that he was entrusted in. And if he was entrusted with another's wealth, by the way, if you'll read this, with no accountability. Now, I'm not even suggesting that. But Potiphar trusted him to the point where he gave him all oversight of his finances, and it says that Potiphar himself didn't even know what was going on. It was totally in Joseph's hands. And yet, Joseph passed the test. Here's the question, if you were entrusted with somebody else's wealth with no accountability, would you be completely honest? Completely honest. Isn't that a good thought? Folks, listen to me. God's going to put every single one of us from time to time in this type of a test mode. And it may not be finances. It may be another man's work. It may be a certain responsibility that's given you. And you know what? Maybe you have no accountability. Well, let me just say this. First of all, that's a misnomer. We all ultimately have accountability. Maybe you have no earthly accountability, but that doesn't mean God's not watching. Say, "Brother Jerry, I can get by with this." Well, amen. Those of you who have been saved a while down the road, is that possible? I mean, ultimately, doesn't the Bible prove itself true when it says we'll reap what we sow? And I really believe every time we think we've gotten ahead by deceit, what we find out is that God is the one that ultimately balances all the books. And down the road, somewhere along the road, that's going to be evened out. Folks, I guess if I can get something across, if I can gather all those young people we just dismissed downstairs, I can bring them back up here and I could really see if I could get one truth in their head. This might be a good one to pick. Is this. You know what? Just be honest. Just be honest. You know what? In the long run, God's going to reward you for that, and you'll get farther ahead by being honest than you think you will, taking a shortcut and being dishonest. And here, Joseph was imprisoned. Joseph was entrusted with another man's wealth, and he passed the honesty test. Now, what I'm asking the Lord to do as we go through these, and I'm praying you'll ask the Lord to do, is apply these to your life and really take a hard look at this. Has there been a time when you were entrusted with something and you were less than honest about it? Would you ask the Lord for a new pace? Would you ask the Lord to allow you to redeem yourself? And by the way, let me just encourage you. The Lord may prompt you, and probably will prompt you, to go back and make that thing right. And you ought to make it right. You ought to make it right. One of the things that Pastor Ross taught us many times from this pulpit was that wonderful verse of Scripture that Jesus taught in the Gospels about before He'll entrust us with what the Bible calls true riches. He'll test us with earthly riches. And that's a test of discipleship. That's a test that God puts you through in order to see whether or not you are trustworthy. And we ought to be very, very careful about how we deal with our own that God's entrusted us, but other people's also. Let me give you another test. Well, there's a lot I could say about these things, but I want to get through these four. Number two, Joseph passed the honesty test. Number two, Joseph passed the purity test. Purity test. I can remember Brother Mitchell, and he was in our Bible college. And he got up and preached one time and split chapel just to the young men. He talked about the importance of purity and how that every young man at some point is going to be tested in this area of purity. And he told a story about when he was working his way through Bible college, he had a job at a hotel. And he said that he was some kind of a maintenance type man. He did several things, but he was a maintenance man in a hotel. And he said he got a call to a motel room. This is when he was a young Bible college student. He got a call to a certain motel room that the air conditioner was broken. So he went up to that room and knocked on the door and was let in. And as he was looking at the air conditioner, there was a woman in there, and she tried to seduce him. There was nothing wrong with the air conditioner. She'd seen him down there. She brought him up there for the express purpose of tempting him. And you say, Brother Jerry, those things don't happen. Oh, my goodness sakes. Hello? What planet you been on? And he shared with us. He said, young men, he said, whether or not you understand it or not, whether or not I understood it at the time, whether or not I was right now in the position I'm in a Bible college serving the Lord was probably dependent upon what I did at that moment. And I'm not saying that God couldn't use him, but he looks back at that moment as key. Then he said something I'll never forget. He said, you know what? While I'm talking about this, some of you are preparing yourself spiritually for the fact that you're going to have to face something like that one of these days. He said, others of you are wishing something like that would happen to you. And boy, you talk about getting quiet. And folks, listen to me. You know what? God knows what goes on up here. And we live in a wicked world. Brother, we live in a wicked world. And let me say to each and every one of you, I'm telling you, I've been beating the drum on this thing. We're going to spend an entire month of January, having a family emphasis month. And Satan hates the family unit. Satan hates marriages. Satan loves to bust up homes. And he's going to throw everything, and is throwing everything he can, at young couples and middle-aged couples and older couples. There's nobody that's immune. He's going after our young people like he's never gone after them before. And the honest truth is, if you live in this old wicked world, as much as you would pray, lead me not to temptation, as much as you would try to foresee the evil and hide yourself, the honest truth is from time to time, you're going to have to face the reality of the world that we live in. Now, I'm giving you these because there's a reason that Joseph ended up where he ended up. There's a reason that God used Joseph the way God used Joseph in the long run. And we have to in this matter of purity. Listen, don't compromise in purity. Don't compromise in purity. And I think that's my experience in counseling with people and dealing with people. And is this. Satan doesn't start out with that type of thing. He starts out with littler things. Littler things. Be careful. I know we say a lot about it, but I'm going to keep saying stuff about it. You need to be careful with this internet. Folks, there's stuff that's accessible with a click of a button that 20 years ago you'd have had to go to some seedy part of some large city, some red light district to have access to. And now with a click of the button in your privacy of your home, there's just unspeakable things out there. And what I'm just saying is be careful, because Satan, he knows how to do this stuff. He's been at it a long time. He pecks away and chips away and plants a seed here and plants a seed there. Why in the 70s? Put back in the 70s, preachers preaching against soap operas. What's the big deal? I'll tell you, that nutcase church down there, that preacher preaches against soap operas. Why'd we do that? Why should we still be doing that? I'll tell you why. He sat there all afternoon, and it's subtle. It's subtle. All of a sudden, you watch this stuff over and over again, and you get used to the idea of people cheating on their spouse, and you start okaying it. You see that sometimes, hey, you know what? It comes out, and it works for the best sometimes. Why is Hollywood constantly, the theme is always happiness as a result of some immorality? And that is absolutely a constant theme. What I call the chick flicks. You just about pick up any one of them. And you know what you find out? You find out that here are, as a guy and girl, it's a guy and girl type story, and somewhere before or outside the bounds of marriage, they cross biblical lines, and guess what? By the end of the movie, they live happily ever after. That's dangerous. Average teenager grows up and watches hundreds of those during his teenage years. You think at some point that's not, oh, they can separate that from reality. You're kidding yourself. Amen. I mean, folks, listen to me. There's some things we stopped saying that we need to just say again. And so the purity test. like I said, you say, well, Brother Jerry, and I failed that test. Well, ask God for a new pace. You know, this is what I believe with all my heart. At any one day in your life, you can say, from this day forward, Lord, I vow. From this day forward, Lord, I vow. And you can redirect and change, by the grace of God, your entire life. Thank God for the blood, folks. I mean, aren't you glad that God doesn't just forgive sins, forgive it, but He forgets it? Aren't you glad that He said, I'll bury it in the deepest sea, as far as the east is from the west, I'll separate your sin from you? He said, I'll remember them no more. By the way, you know, that means if you confess it and you ask for forgiveness and you forsake it, you truly repent. If that is being brought back up to you, it's not the Lord bringing it back up to you, because He's forgot about it. It's the devil bringing it back to your mind, trying to discourage you, trying to beat you down with it. And so when those things happen, you just say, Satan, get behind me. You know what? I chose a new path. I started a new life, a new direction. In that area of my life, I started afresh. I put everything previous under the blood, and I started fresh. Here's an awesome verse. If we confess our sins, think about the verse. I know you know it. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to from unrighteousness. Woo! Boy, that's a deal. That's a deal. And let me just say this. You know, if God's willing to forgive and forget and give us a chance, let us start over, shouldn't we be able to do that with each other? I mean, honestly, wouldn't that be a good thing to do? And so there you go. Purity test. Number three. Now, this is a tough one. Let me give you this one. This is the one test. I'm talking about Christians that do not fail the honesty test and the purity test. A lot of times, this is the type of thing that gets them. Number three, the injustice test. The injustice test. What if God allows some things to come into your life that's absolutely not fair? Now, you think about Joseph. You know, what? Can you imagine what the conversation with the Lord was that first night in the prison? I don't know. I don't want to put words in the Bible or words in his mouth, but I think that Joseph was human. I think, okay, Jerry, if you were in the prison that first night, wouldn't you be complaining a little to the Lord, "Lord, listen, I'm getting a raw deal here. I have done nothing but lived with integrity. I have been honest. I did exactly what I should have done. And this is," you know, you ever heard somebody say, no good deed goes unpunished. You ever heard that phrase? I've even said that. It seems like sometimes when you're doing right, you still get the raw end of the deal. Still get the short stick. What's going on? Oh, Lord, come on now. I'm living for you. Come on, we're tithing. Come on, we're serving you. Come on, I'm a witness. What's the deal with this? And sometimes something comes to our life that just to us doesn't seem fair. You know what? It's a test. It's called the injustice test. God wants to see. Listen, folks, here's the deal. We can all serve the Lord when everything's fair. We can all serve the Lord when everything's rosy. We can all serve the Lord when everything's great. When everything's going our way. But what if God asks you to stay faithful to Him even when you're getting a raw deal? Folks, listen, I want to help you here. And I talked to a man this week and I pled with him. God told me he'd been in church, served the Lord faithfully in church for 13 years. He'd served the Lord faithfully in church, him and his wife. For the past 8 years, they haven't been in church. So they were in church for 13 years. The last 8, they've never been in church. And you know what he wanted to start? What he wanted to start doing, number one, is trying to excuse that to me. And I just stopped. I said, "Whoa. I said, listen, I'm not a novice. I didn't get saved yesterday. I'm not ignorant of what the Bible says." I said, "There's no way in the world you're going to justify that to me." I said, "You can tell me every horror story you want to tell me. There's no way in the world it's right for you to have been faithfully in church, serving the Lord in that church, not just sitting, serving the Lord in that church for 13 years, and for the last 8, be out and it's okay." I said, "I don't care what the church says, that is not right." I said, "Let me tell you where you're at." I said, "Brother Jerry, you say these things?" Yeah. I said, "I've got a term for that. The Bible's got a term for that. It's called backsliding. You're backsliding." Yeah, but. And you know what the whole thing was? The whole thing was one thing happened after being faithful for 13 years that wasn't fair. But you know what? God gave him a chance to be tested. God wanted him to pass the injustice test. Hey, folks, listen. Life's not always fair. People around you is not always going to do right. They're not always going to be nice. They're not always going to be kind. Sometimes you're going to get the raw end of the deal. Sometimes you're going to get cheated. Sometimes you're going to get mistreated. What are you going to do? And I think what that does is that tests whether or not we're doing what we're doing because men treat us right, or we're doing what we're doing because we do it for the Lord. And so, let me just help you with that. I mean, I tell you, I'm burdened about this thing. You know, you think about this. And by the way, that man is not... There's people like that by the groves. There's multitudes of ex-church members out there that this morning are home and they're not attending church. And at one time they attended church and even served in the church. And they've been sitting at home on Sunday mornings and they are not affiliated with any church. And let me tell you something. If we had that entire group of people to get right with God, and in the first Sunday of 08 said, "You know what? In 08, we're going to go back to church and we're going back to serving the Lord in the church." Do you realize? Folks, listen. I'm telling you right now, in this church right here, we'd have to double the size of the auditorium. And every other Bible-believing church in the area would have to also. And they'd still be standing out in the parking lot. But do you understand what that group represents? You realize, folks, listen. Satan doesn't have to get you to go off into this gross sin in order to consider himself successful. This is one of the things I say all the time. Satan doesn't have to destroy you to eliminate you. He just needs to neutralize you. just needs neutralizing. And you think about this great mass of people, and all of a sudden they come back and they say, "All right, where's the bus route? When do you go soul winning, preacher? Give me some tracts like I used to carry. Give me a place to serve." I mean, you get that? Can you understand what's going on here? And then, and you know, this is just the truth of it. I have a feeling that man for 13 years, something tells me he probably was involved in missions giving. You know, there's not, if we had that group of people get back in church, get right with God, and get back to serving and giving like they used to before this little owie, they got an owie. And they, for 8 years, they want to show everybody their owie. Brother Jerry, you're not being very compassionate. That's hogwash. That is hogwash. For 8 years, people's been patting that poor boy on the shoulder and, "Oh, bless your heart. Well, yeah, I understand." Well, no, I don't understand. Neither does God. Good night. You think this man right here, first time in the ministry, something happened to him or his wife or his family that wasn't fair, he'd have folded his tent and quit? How long do you think he'd have been in the ministry? About 15 minutes. Give me a break. I mean, Sister Jenny, nothing's ever like that happened to your mom and dad, where they've ever been mistreated or misunderstood or something said about them that wasn't true. And because I know that's never happened to them because they're still in the ministry. Give me a break. Grow some thick skin. Guess what? The devil's going to take some pot shots at you, and people are going to be less than fair with you, and you're going to suffer some injustice at some point. And I'm not saying it's not legitimate. I'm just saying it's not cause to quit serving the Lord. I'd love to see that. Wouldn't it be neat to see in 08 the church house is filled and flooded again with people that for whatever reason have been deceived into thinking it's okay for them no longer to have to come to the house of God. And so I spent enough time on that. But listen, I'm just trying to prepare you for the future. If this has happened to you, you know what it's like to go through it. If it hasn't happened to you, it will. And at some point, you just got to say, you know what, so? They're human, I'm human. I'm sure I've done things to other people that I shouldn't have done or said things I shouldn't have said, and I hope they forgive me, and I'm going to forgive them. And you know what, next Sunday morning, I'm going to get up and go to church and do my job and grab some tracks on the way out and still drive that bus to teach that Sunday school class. I'm not going to sit on the sideline because of something that happened one time to me way back when. Amen. And then the last one, I call it this, the quitter's test. The quitter's test. Here's the question. Would you give your best for the Lord no matter if you were in Potiphar's house or Pharaoh's prison? You see, here's what I think is so remarkable about this story is the last few verses. Because it's easy for Joseph, maybe, from a carnal standpoint, to be sold to Potiphar, and him being a young man of enterprise, to look around and say, "Hey, listen, this is the hand I've been dealt, but man, there's opportunity for advancement here, so you know what? I'm just going to work hard. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be the first guy that volunteers, and I'm going to win this guy's trust. I'm going to advance. And you know what? I'm going to end up in a pretty good situation, even though my brothers didn't think I would." That's one thing. But when you have done that and achieved it, and then you go all the way down to the bottom into prison, will you quit? Or will you look around in the prison and say, "You know what? This is not a real great place, but I see opportunities for advancement." You know what? I'm going to put the same work ethic to work. I'm going to put the same honesty. I'm going to maintain the same purity. And I'm not going to let my faith in God waver. And I'm going to just work hard. Listen, if it worked in Potiphar's house, it'll work in Pharaoh's prison. And again, I know this kind of ties with what we talked about as far as the injustice test. But folks, the quitter's test is this. Hey, anybody can serve the Lord when things are going well, but come on. When you take a hit, when you're demoted, When something happened that wasn't fair and you have to start over, circumstance takes over, what do? I'll tell you what you do. You roll up your sleeves and you start from the bottom and you begin on the first rung again. You say, here we go again. And these are the tests that I think God took Joseph through. And he simply said, listen, I'm preparing you for something and I have to take you through the fire. I'm going to have to burn off some dross. I'm going to have to purify you some. So I'm going to take you through some circumstances here, and I'm going to let you have to deal with some things, and I'm going to see if you'll let them, if you're going to allow them to make you bitter, or you're going to let them make you better. And Joseph is a great, great example to all of us because he passed these tests with flying colors. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, as we prepare now, Lord, for the Christmas cantata, you bless the choir. Bless all those that are participating. Lord, we ask even now that all of this would be done for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless the service that will follow. We pray, Lord Jesus, for Ashley and Nicole. And Lord, I pray for these young ladies. Lord, I pray that you touch their heart, heal their heart, Lord. Be with them during these upcoming days. In Jesus' name, amen.